covered with flowers.
Covered with flowers, everyone. When will we ever part? When will we ever part?
Do people feel like making some noise tonight?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Cookie Monster's favorite radio station.
Good night, Chicago! Brutal!
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
How do I look? Legendary.
one of them chicken heads. Touch this skin, honey. Touch all of this skin, darling. You can't take it. You're just an overgrown orangutan. Hand me my BlackBerry, honey. I got a test and this is my agency. No, not the escort agency, honey, the modeling agency. Okay, I gotta make those coins, girl. Oh, yes, I look good. I feel good.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, but however you decide to spend this hour with us, we are very, very, very glad to have you. And I think a little bit of looking good, feeling gorgeous is exactly right for this show. And in case you haven't checked that out before, that's by RuPaul, which is super hot. Joining me tonight is Ms. Connie Smudge and Mr. Chris Bolton.
Oh, either way, I'm totally good with both. But
you're good with both.
I'm good either way, baby.
Really? We'll have to talk about that a bit more.
I'm sure we have a whole hour, sister. So I'll tell you. But if that song doesn't get the whole city ready for the little drag, I don't know what will.
Well, I think that's why Ms. Connie Smudge is in the house, is she not?
That is a big 10 for her.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the event that's going on May 14th.
May 14th is going to be a huge, big Las Vegas-style extravaganza. With every fabulous drag queen in town. It's at the River Rock. I think showtime's around 8 o'clock. Tickets are for sale at Ticketmaster, going very quickly. And it's a huge, big production. And it's so much fun. The Shooting Stars Foundation is a charity organization that I've been working with for, I guess, over a decade.
Probably. Over a decade? Yeah. How long has it been around?
I think much longer than that. They started out with a... an evening called Starry Night.
Yes, which is at the Stanley.
You betcha. And it has progressed into, I think, 6 fantastic extravaganzas again. There's like Gambado. There's a wine sort of evening. I can't remember the name of that. Of course, the Motown Meltdown at the Commodore every year, and that's like not to be missed.
I just might have to check that one out, but I'm definitely got Fit for a Queen.
Oh, you betcha. Fit for a Queen. It's going to be fabulous. There's about, I think, 14 or 15 drag queens. It's not really a dragathon because it's way like better produced.
What is a dragathon, just out of curiosity?
A dragathon is usually like a charity gig at usually a nightclub, which we're very happy that they're being generous and giving us their facility. But it usually starts about 8 o'clock. And every tired drag queen in town shows up and does free numbers, and it's like one after another after another. If I have to see another Celine Dion number done by somebody in a pair of like 1-inch flats, I'm going to get really upset.
So how is Fit for a Queen different?
Again, with the Shooting Stars Foundation, with all of their expertise and all the people that they pull in,
There's some great names in town who are going to be up there, like yourself.
Oh, well, thanks very much.
Joni.
Of course, Joni. Unforgettable Joni. Robin Graves, the groovy Robin Graves. Christina Cash. Milan, who is absolutely fabulous. She does a huge big dance number. Last year, I think she had 8 backup dancers.
8?
And she rehearsed for 3 months. Again, I'm talking twice a week for 3 months for just one 4.5-minute song. She did Janet Jackson Feedback. Oh, my God. I got it on DVD. I'll send it to you.
I want to see that.
I want to see my performance, too.
So what are you doing this year for the show?
I am doing a number. I really always want to do something that I feel really comfortable with, because a big stage like that, I want to be able to sort of roll with the punches. Like if my heel breaks or something like that, I want to be able to know that I know the song inside and out. And there's a song that I've been doing, and no one can ever figure out what it is, but it's actually from Postcards from the Edge.
Okay.
And Meryl Streep does it, and it's called Heartbreak Hotel. But it's not like the Elvis rendition. It's very bluesy, country, western, and she just chews it off at the end. It's fabulous. And Meryl Streep is the most fabulous singer. Of course, everyone's seen her in ABBA or the Mamma Mia,
which I love.
Yeah, but in Postcards from the Edge, she had a couple of real signature numbers. Fabulous. Anyway, so yeah, it's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night, and I really would like to urge everyone to come down, because not only is it a fabulous evening of entertainment with a whole bevy of beauties, but it's a great fundraiser, and it's such a good time out, and it's so cool to be at the River Rock, the stage. Last year, I'm a virgin for that, so honey, please tell me. It's a fabulous stage. Like, we've been doing it at the Stanley for years. Yeah,
I've seen it at the Stanley, and I loved it.
And you loved it. What did you like so much? Was it my performance?
Perhaps. Should I be blushing right now?
No, I'm just joking.
I think I'm flirting with you.
Oh, I love it. I'm bisexual. As long as you're buying, I'm sexual. How about that?
Meow.
Where were we? River Rock. So I'm used to like performing in sort of stages. I think the house is about 720 or something like that at the Stanley.
Okay.
And there's that nice break between the sort of orchestra mezzanine and the balcony. Balcony seats. And when I got on, so I'm sort of used to that sort of break in all the faces that you can see. Well, with the spotlights on, you can't really see that much, but at least you have that little break. I get on the stage last year at the River Rock, and it was like standing in the bottom of a cereal bowl. Like, because there was no beginning or ending of the people. Like, the people started at my feet and went like up over top of my head, because they have those retractable seats, and of course they had to like smoosh them out as big as they would, because we were so spectacular. I totally sold out last year too, so I really do urge the entire city of Vancouver
to come.
It's gonna Facebook it, get your friends out. It's gonna be absolutely fabulous. You can check out the details at shootingstars.org,
which is perfect.
It's amazing.
So for those listeners out there who aren't familiar with what drag is, because sometimes I know when people ask, what's drag?
Drag can be a whole bunch of things for different people.
Okay.
For me personally, what drag does for me, I'm really, I used to do Wonder Bra commercials when I was like six. So I'm like a performer. I used to like, was one of those kids that had like sort of, we had family dinners, and then I'd make little sort of puppet shows and stuff for the family, and they made no sense, but everyone laughed and had a good time.
I can relate to that, so I understand.
Yeah, so I've always been a bit of a gregarious, outgoing performer at heart, and I started... I started sort of doing some acting, looking at it. I went to Guest and Actor Studio, and I'm sort of getting involved with that. But then just the turn of events, which we can talk about now or later, whichever you prefer, led me into just doing this one-time thing. And then it just kind of... A friend of mine wrote, filmed, produced, and directed this film, and it was called... What was it called? I don't even want to give him a plug, because it's... Anyway.
That's all right. But it was a plug that you had to do, or a film that you had to do research for?
It was called Highway of Heartache.
Okay.
And it starred a whole bunch of queens from downtown. So it starred I don't know if you're too young to remember the Big Wigs. They were two fabulous queens, Stephen and Andrew, and their drag names were Pearl and Cherry.
Nice.
And they looked identical, and they never wore the same thing twice. So like they would like... one was a really good sewer, and one was a really good wigier.
Nice.
So... Every week they just rip apart like size 8 dresses and like put two of them together and make them into a 16. You know what I mean?
That's incredible.
It was like pretty fabulous.
And I wish I had somebody redoing my wardrobe like that.
Oh, be careful what you wish for. Usually the drag queen sewing method is just some hot glue and some prayer.
That sounds very burlesque, actually, as well.
Yeah, exactly. It looks good from far, but far from good.
So what happened with this production?
So it was this movie, and it was starring all these like really well-known queens in town, and none of them wanted to go and promote it. So the friend of ours, Greg, his name's Greg Wilde, he got my friend Rick Myers and myself, Chris Bolton, and took two dresses from the movie, got Mariah Lenoir to put our faces on, and we went and stood in front of like movie theaters during, I think it was for a film festival or something, and we stood in front of the Starlight on Denman when it was open, and then down at the what's that one on Granville that's now the Caprice? Because it was, I think it was, the Caprice is now a big nightclub on Granville.
It is.
It used to be a movie theater, sister, just so you know.
Was that the one that used to be called the Downtown Theater that used to have the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No, and that was called the Starlight, I think. And that is now a nightclub too, speakeasy sort of thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We digress. But so we just stood in front of these movie theaters that were showing the movie in full ass drag and just handing out keeper cards saying, come to the movie. Well, then they had a big night and they asked us to learn a song from the movie because it was kind of a musical. And the song was called, I don't even forget it, listen to this. The song was called, I've Got a Ring on My Finger and a Stiff on My Hand. And it was about this woman, this trailer trash woman. This is the whole movie. Trailer trash woman kills her husband after he asked her to marry her. And so she had the ring on her finger, but she had a stiff on her hand. That was the deal.
Oh my God.
Anyway, and then it just progressed from there. Rick Myers lives in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. And I started going over and visiting him, and we just started putting on dresses and making up fabulous like songs. And then we said, "Well, why don't we just do a show?" So then Rick named himself Vicky Smudge.
Vicky Smudge.
Vicky was short for Victorious. And Smudge, we liked Smudge because it sort of smudged the lines between heterosexual and homosexual. It was a way that we could just, because we were like, had our thing was hairy chests, and we used to use liquid paper for like almost eyeliner. Oh yeah, honey. Oh yeah, forget about the Bonnie Bell. We were old school, let me tell you.
All I can think about is if you got that in your eye.
Oh, I've had worse in my eye, sister.
Now that sounds like another show.
So we just took it up and down the island. We did a show every month, and we did sort of Priscilla Queen of the Desert, went to like all the logging towns, and the rest is pretty well history. Came back to Vancouver and just rocked it.
So was there any stigma or anything in the smaller logging towns?
Well, that was the thing, is that, and the other thing that I really like about performing in those smaller cities like Nanaimo or Comox or Courtney or something, is because when you walk in, some of the people are like, whoa, what the hell is this freak, you know, sort of thing. And after they notice that we're like not trying to pretend that we're women, we got hairy chests and we had, this is pretty well my voice when I'm 6 inches higher. So, through our humor and everything, by the end of the night, we pretty well had won every single person over, and they would come up and say, you know what, you made a change, you made a difference. Like, they would say, we'd hear like stories about fag bashing and that they wouldn't do that anymore because now they'd sort of like think that, you know, well, if this guy's like, I love, my favorite thing is, you know, for a fag, you're kind of cool.
That's, they only favorites. Knew how that sounded.
That's my, one of my favorites. I'm like, thanks, kitten.
So is there any major stories where it was a huge, huge impact? Because that sounds like it touched on a lot of different lives, and you've been doing a lot of empowerment and education through your drag work.
I did I went over and bought a house because the market was so good in like 2002. And I was doing a lot of drag in town. There's a biker bar there called The Queens, believe it or not. Very funny.
Really?
Yeah, it's very funny. But one of the Malaspina, and now it's Malaspina University or Vancouver Island, but it used to be Malaspina College or whatever, Malaspina University. One of the psych professors came to my show at the Queens, and after the show came up and said, you know, would you come and talk to my class? Because we're having some problems with like sort of, he was teaching about equality and acceptance and all that. And there were some people that were just like, I think they were just going through the motions of taking the psych course and la, la, la. So I said, sure. He says, well, I said, what do you want me to do? He says, I just want you to talk about yourself. However you want to do it, do it. So I went in as Chris, totally shaven. I'm a little bearded right now, but totally.
It's not a hockey beard, is it?
No, it's not.
Thank God.
I had never shaven between gigs, so this is about 2 days.
Okay. Wow.
I know, I'm really hairy. I know, right? She's all over me, folks. My goodness. Back off.
It's because I want that ring, but that's beside the point.
Okay, well, we are so gentle tonight. he asked me to go and talk to his class. So I went and as Chris and just said, like, my name's Chris. I grew up in North Vancouver. I was teased as a kid, and then I just open up my bag that I have beside me and I pull out my purse, and then I pulled out a wig head, and then I pulled out a dress, and I talked to them for about 5 minutes, and I was like, had most of them, like, they didn't really know who I was or that I was gay or anything. I was trying to be a bit sort of not as flamboyant as I naturally am. And I made them laugh a couple of times, and then I pulled the bag out, and they were all kind of puzzled. Some of them sort of stood straight up in their chairs, and then I talked about, you know, getting bullied and beaten up, and then my high school career and being like sort of fat and like didn't really fit in, and yada yada yada. So and by the end of it, I'm sitting there, my full face is in total dry because I can pretty well paint in about 25 minutes.
Wow.
And I was wearing my girdle underneath my clothes, and I just totally undressed right in front of them, and then just pulled my dress on, and then popped my wig on, and then I pushed play on my little tiny Barbie ghetto blaster and did Aretha Franklin Respect.
I wish I could have seen that. That sounds amazing.
I've got a couple of notes written. I'm really thinking about something for the Fringe. Something in that sort of, but not like sort of like Edward, you know, from Tootsie, like nothing like that sort of like drastic.
But I could even see that for out in schools. That would be really lovely to do that sort of presentation, even though they do a fantastic job with what they've got already.
Yeah, it would be good for my spirit too. Which it always is, that kind of work.
Yeah. How has becoming Connie Smudge helped, like, in terms of your life? Has it empowered you in different ways?
Well, totally, because I find that when I do have off times, like when I'm like, okay, sometimes you get a bit over, especially around just after Pride, because you're like, I'm doing drag almost every night, and I'm like trying to hold down a full-time job too, right? So after about 2 months, because there's about a month preamble and then a month afterwards, I take like a month off, and then by the end of it, I realize that I've been really grumpy all month, and the reason is because I haven't had that outlet. Like, it's such a, to have a group of people that are like involved in their own conversations and stuff like that, to drop everything in their lives, concentrate on me for like 4.5 minutes, and then notice that I've alleviated some sort of stress or taken them out of their miserable lives for a second, or just shown them like, let's have some fun. Like,
you've made them
every
feel
day's
really
Halloween,
good.
You know. Why not? If you want to dress up like this, why don't you? Come on out with a feather boa. I'd love to see it. But, you know, it sort of empowers them, too. It sees yes. shows them that I, you know, I'm a free, open spirit. My life is an open book. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. It's, I think, just like living a good life, they can feel it. And it is that kind of energy is infectious, I think.
And I think that's really important. How did you come out to your family?
I was dating a girl, and it was getting serious, like invitations, weddings, and things like that. And I hadn't really ever sort of, I don't want to use the word diddled. I never dabbled in the sort of homosexual, but I knew that, like, when I was having romantic thoughts about her, I was thinking about Patrick Swayze. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So, not really Patrick Swayze, but sort of, who was I really into? I can't remember. Anyway, so I knew that I was thinking about it, right? And then I didn't think it was fair. And I think I'd seen some sort of Donahue back in the day. Hello, I'm aging myself again. Or Oprah or something like that. That was about like men who married and then divorced because they were gay. And then the kids were upset. And I'm like going, it was some sort of epiphanal moment that I was like, this is crazy. I'm not even living my life for myself.
Wow.
So then I went home, and it turns out that I went to a gay bar after I went to Aida with my girlfriend at the time. It was at BC Place. We're talking like 1989 or something.
I remember that with the camels. Yes.
Oh my God. So I took her to the Aida, and then she went home in her car, and I was living on the North Shore, and I ended up going to Celebrities, and I met this guy. Nothing happened, but then we set up to have a date the next night. So then the next morning, I woke up saying, this is totally not right. I've got to break things off. And I didn't with Tracy yet, but then I said to my sister, I was getting ready to go out for this date. And I said to my, I was really nervous. And I said to my sister, I was like, she's like, where are you going? Where are you going? And I'm going, I'm not going anywhere. She goes, you seem to be getting awfully dressed up. And Tracy's working tonight. And what's happening? And I was like, Sarah, okay, I'm going out for dinner with a guy, but I don't want to answer any other questions because it's all new to me. Don't say anything to mom. I'm not ready. So I went out. Everything's fine. A month later, I find out that my sister told my mom that night. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
And all over.
She outed you.
Totally. And I was just like, I found out a month, but my mom didn't say anything to me for a month. And then I think it was making eggs or something in the morning. And she just sort of said, Chrissy, is there anything you, she calls me Chrissy. Chrissy, is there, maybe that's my problem with my preference for ladies' clothes. I don't know. Chrissy, is there anything you want to talk to me about? And I was like, well, yeah, actually, I met a really nice guy, and I broke things off with Tracy, and she goes, I know, your sister told me. Meanwhile, I was like trying to play it all cool all month long, right? But my mom was probably wise, and it was good for her too, because from what my sister tells me now years later, it was really hard for my mom. And she knew that I was effeminate, and she probably knew deep down that I was gay. But I think that she had those preconceived, and my mom was in the travel industry. She was like, we had all these uncles that weren't sleeping with her. They were like all like lived in the West End, and they had like friends that looked like the same friends with bald hair and big huge mustaches, and we loved them, right? So my mom was like fine. She went to do the Gandhi Dancer, and my mom was fine with the whole homosexual thing. It was just that it didn't really fit into what, you know, you think 19 years of thinking of the same, oh well, he's gonna get married and he's gonna have a kid and blah, blah, blah. So it was a good digesting period for her that month, and it was good for me to sort of have that month. The guy's name was Ross, I even remember that. God, I'm like an elephant, I never forgot.
It's your first. Yeah. You can't forget the first.
And yeah, it gave me a month with Ross to sort of figure out that, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do.
Wow.
So yeah, that's my coming out story.
And how was it?
Oh, my dad. Okay. I did tell you about this a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, you did, a little bit in the green room before it went on air.
Okay, so my dad is like sort of, was like the boxing champion, and he's like really tough, and I never talked to him about it, because I figured if they're not asking the questions, they're not ready to hear the answer. So my dad takes me up for my 30th. I came out when I was like 20, 21. And my dad takes me up for my 30th birthday and is sitting across from me at the sushi restaurant. And I said, well, Dad, I'm turning 30. And I'm not ashamed of it, but you've never asked me a question. So, Dad, I'm gay. And he put my hands in front of me on the table, and puts his hands on top of my hands, and he goes, son, I think I knew you were gay before you knew you were gay. So he was great, too. He was great.
I think it's cool. Before we wrap up because we're going to take a short break in a second, how has coming out empowered you?
I think just living my real truth.
Yeah.
It's that easy of an answer, because it's that easy of a they say it's a lifestyle choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it is a choice to live your truth. If you don't live your truth, then what's your life? Your lifestyle choice is to be not yourself. So I just living my truth, being myself, and having everyone around me know everything about me. And even the parts, like my mom doesn't love the fact that I'm walking around the streets in 6-inch stilettos at 2:30 in the morning, right? But the fact that she lets me make those decisions for myself. Yeah. It's called respect. It comes back to that word.
It really does. And last but not least, how about coming out as Connie?
That was a very gradual thing.
Should we talk about it in the second half?
It's very long and drawn out.
It sounds very long and drawn out.
Okay.
So we're going to take a short break, and you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM, and we will be back to hear a little bit more about Connie Smudge.
Your voice is so sexy. Oh, mine sounds not sexy when I lean that close too.
I think yours sounds sexy anyway.
You're watching The Unstoppable Connie Smudge.
And we will be right back.
It does sound really good close.
Thank you.
I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And we are back. So, if you're just joining us now, you are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio. I'm Caroline McGillivray, and I'm here with Chris Bolden, otherwise known as Ms. Connie Smudge.
That voice, are you doing that even better now than you were before? Because I said how spectacular you sounded.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my self-esteem has just increased, and it made me feel so sexy.
I'm getting a little womanwood. I don't know.
For my own voice, I don't know if I could get womanwood.
Oh, listen to the playback, girl.
Which, on that note, we had a little bit of Supermodel from RuPaul on the break. It wasn't the version I'd planned to download, but...
it was kind of like the acoustic version.
It was very strange. I was hoping for the work it.
Work it, girl.
Exactly.
What do you want to do with your life? That's all Twisted Sister. And to tell you the truth, Carlotta named me when she was Empress. You know Carlotta Girl? She's a fabulous drag queen. She named me her Imperial Twisted Sister. True story.
That's all.
You can just mention a word and I've got a whole story for you.
No, I love it. It's great. So before the break, we were talking about coming out as Connie. So what was that story?
Well, I think it started with, again, my sister, believe it or not, coming out to my family, at least.
She's influential.
Yeah.
Did she out you again?
She was very supportive, actually.
Ah.
So at first, I think she was just doing, because I like probably stole her Twinkie or something like that, telling mom that I was going out for dinner with a guy. But I think she was the very first person who said, like, made it okay in my family sort of circle.
Okay.
People were hearing inklings and they were seeing the blue nail polish from time to time because I didn't have any nail polish remover or something. I used to wear fake nails. I don't anymore. And I used to just paint my thumbs because you can't really tuck anything with fake thumbnails on. So I would just put 8 finger nails on and then I would leave my thumbs and just paint them the same color as the nails. A little trick for you people out there.
I will have to think about that one.
Well, because like, you have no idea. If you have put them on your thumbs and you have as many businesses to be tucking away in your pantyhose as I do, you get home from doing a gig and you're wondering why your girdle's hurting you so badly. It's because you've got 2 thumbnails up your crotch is the problem. I don't wear thumbnails anymore. But actually, I don't even wear nails anymore. I wear big rings.
Yes, and that is a lovely ring.
You can hear the diamond shaking, people. Listen.
I wish that was a real diamond.
It is. It's from the Ad Man Khashoggi. He had a small penis, but he had a huge rock. Sense of cash, too, so it's okay.
I love it. So, how did you come out as Connie with your sister you were mentioning?
We did a gig on the island. I think she flew over for it. And then her friend had rented strippers for her stagettes.
Really?
And I think the strippers were almost a no-show. So Sarah used my friend Rick, Vicky Smudge, and myself to be a backup. And we ended up just doing it. And the strippers came. And I won. You know when the stripper like lies? We're talking again. Probably the year was 1990, maybe.
Okay.
And the guy lies down and he's wearing the stripper after he's all done and he plays like sort of little games with the girls. I hadn't been to that many stagettes at that time, but now I've done thousands of them. But back then it was the guy would like get all dressed after his like fabulous oil down in his G-string or whatever it was. And he'd be wearing like white jeans and then you get a white candle and then the girls would put big red lipstick on and then they had to like sort of put their mouth down on the big candle and he'd lie down on the floor and that would be on his crotch.
Then he'd have to like put never had that happen. I've just spent too much time laughing at the male strippers, which is really horrible.
Oh, I'm totally into the male strippers.
It's the floppy factor.
Oh, no, there's no floppiness when I'm around.
Oh, well, maybe I'll have to bring you with me if I ever go.
In some circles, I'm known as a fluffer. Just so you know. We do have fluffers, though, too, in the drag community, but they don't do what you think they do.
What do they do?
They just fluff up your dresses and make sure your wigs are nice and fluffy.
I was thinking fluffing your boas, but...
Yeah, same thing. As long as they find holes in the back of your hair that you haven't got a curl in or, you know, well, not really a hole, but like a... You
know, I knew what you meant. Okay. But I had this vision of some big hole in the head.
I'm sitting here talking with my hands and I'm realizing that people out there can't really see me, can they?
They can't, but they can hear it in your voice.
You should get a little live camera web.
We have wanted one of those for so long because we thought it'd be really, really interesting.
I want you to say something with the two W's again because you almost deep-throated your microphone. We've wanted. I've wanted.
I think I might get in trouble if I swallowed the mic.
I don't think you're supposed to. But that's what that little sheath is on for, isn't it? For your protection?
It's, I suppose so. And speaking of protection, that is something that we should talk about.
I led you right into it, girl.
Yes, you did. I knew exactly.
We're working forever now. This is our show. Just so you know.
So in regards to the Fit for a Queen, where it's about HIV and for all these different charities that do work. So Persons with AIDS Society, the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, Positive Women's Network, which I've done some work with my Beauty Night charity as well. So it's pretty exciting. They're doing a lot of great things. But we were talking in the green room earlier. You were just mentioning just in comparison to the 80s, how things have changed over the last...
Well, again,
since about 84.
I'm dating myself, but again, my life's an open book. I turned 40 in September. My birthday this year is 09-09-09. It's very cool, just on the sideline. Isn't that neat? Someone do my horoscopy for me, would they?
You just have to let them know what time you're born.
I guess so. My mom doesn't even remember. She says, I think it was dinner time.
It should be on your birth certificate.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I'll have to have a look, a little look.
Definitely.
I was born in vagina.
I thought you said vagina, which I guess it did come out of the birth canal,
yeah,
but yes.
Anyway, we're tangential again. We're digressing. What were we talking about?
We're talking about AIDS.
How things have changed since... Okay, so picture it. I'm like 39. So when I was like getting sexually active, we're talking sort of late 80s. Late 80s. And back then it was like no one really knew what HIV or AIDS was. They were calling it the gay cancer and that could only affect homosexuals. And it was scary, scary beyond belief. And everyone was still like totally practicing abstinence if they didn't have regular partners. And people around were like contracting it. And within like a month they were dead. And it was like... It was a huge loss to the city right as soon as it happened.
Yeah.
But then through education, mm-hmm. And through the cocktail, like the new drugs that are out on the scene now are much better. And
mm-hmm.
I've known people that have been living with HIV for 20 years.
Yes.
So like, hallelujah, fabulous. I'm getting all tingly talking about it. But then it also has a negative turn to it because some of the younger kids that are now in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
they were born when this sort of quote-unquote gay cancer was coming out, and they never had that sort of terror thrown into them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they're being a bit promiscuous, which I would guarantee that I was when I was coming out of the closet too.
I think everybody is when they're quite young.
Yeah, I was
in general.
Well, yeah, I know, and yeah, you remind me of my 39 and declining year. but no, I'm finding that a lot of the I know that the STDs are up, like gonorrhea, syphilis, herpes.
STIs, yeah.
The rate is huge. And I think that HIV is scarily approaching that same proportion because they don't have the same terror, the same scare, because they know that people are living with HIV,
mm-hmm.
which is great, but it's not a reason not to practice safe sex.
I agree. And even I know with the Downtown Eastside, because I spend more time with the women there, there has been a huge increase in a lot of the women, and it's because of needle use, where they're letting their partners use the needles first, then using the same needles to inject, which there's been a huge increase, partly because in that way they are more applicable for instead of welfare for
you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding, unfortunately. For disability, which is heartbreaking,
yeah.
Because of the cocktail. So it's interesting where that it's sad. And safe sex. It's really, really important.
Don't be silly, put a rubber on that willy. That's what I always say.
It's really important, and as well, dental dams are really important, give or take, for sex. It's very important.
I couldn't agree more. It's just the whole dental dam thing is like.
I've never had to use one, but. Perhaps I should. I don't know. Yes, I should. I'm advocating it, so yes, I should.
I think they're a very, very wise thing. Mm-hmm. I stand behind. What is it again?
What's the dental dam?
I can make a dress. Actually, Carlotta can make a dress out of a dental dam. She's so
really?
Thin.
Really?
She's so thin. You give her like two pieces of a string and a band-aid. She's got a whole gown. She's really fat. She hasn't eaten since 1977, though, so, yeah. One of my best friends. I love her desperately.
Sorry.
Are you still on the dental dam?
I'm still on the dental dam, but
are dental dams? Are they pink? Are they flesh tone? Are they green?
We'll have to put a picture up.
Do they have day glow dental dams?
I don't think they're as extreme as condoms are. With condoms, there's so many different types, of course.
Well, actually, that's a good thought. Dental dams. I wonder if there's ribbing for everyone's pleasure.
I just know that the female condoms are not very much fun. It's like having sex with a garbage bag, so you can actually hear it.
Oh, crinkling?
Yes. It's very unsexy. I haven't used one of those for a very long time, but I have used them in the past when they first came out because I was quite curious what it'd be like. And every once in a while, we get sent product. And I was pretty horrified, actually.
Not as horrified as I am knowing that I've got, another 15 minutes of fame and you're talking about dental dams on my time, sister?
You kept talking about it. I just meant it as it's important to practice safe sex.
Okay, speaking of safe sex, now yes. People, I've got an announcement to make. A very big announcement.
A big. I like that word.
Huge.
Mm.
This Sunday. That was pretty good.
It was very good. Is this for what's next for Ms. Connie Smudge?
Well, yeah, I just had to do a little plug. Last week was my month anniversary for my new Sunday fabulous brunch. It's every Sunday at the Oasis at Thurlow and Davy on top of the Denny's. I think they open the doors at 11. I show up at about 12 and I party and do fabulous jokes and tell stories about my family. Sort of like an X-rated version of Bonnie Hunt. Really. I talk about my mom and all my problems getting face washed when I was a kid, and it's lots of fun. But I do like big glamorous like show numbers and things, and that lasts till 2 o'clock. And the beer is like so cheap, it's ridiculous. And I think it's $3.25 for a pint of beer.
Ooh.
I know. Come on, students. You want to see a freak on Sunday morning with a delicious brunch and an icy cold pint in front of you, don't you? The show is called Hot Smudge Sundays, and it's at the Oasis on Davie.
I think that sounds really, really hot.
It's an excellent hangover cure, really.
Can I get champagne and orange juice instead? The beer thing just doesn't work for me.
You can have my signature cocktail.
What is your cocktail?
It's called the Smudge, and it comes in a pint glass, well, like a pint sleeve.
All right.
And it is equal parts, thirds, vodka, ginger ale, pineapple juice.
Oh.
So it's kind of smudgy looking. It's like a bit sort of...
Dirty.
A little bit dirty. Mm. And the ginger ale cuts the sweetness of the pineapple, but the pineapple enzymes help your hangover, people, way better than even Clamato, although I'm a big Clamato lover. I bring Clamato when I go to Europe. Isn't that awful?
It is awful.
But I always buy so much when I'm there, so by the time I've consumed all my 4 bottles of Clamato, I have more room to bring back beautiful bags and shoes and wigs and things.
Which you can write off because you can use it for your performances.
That is a big 10-4, if...
Which, on that note, are you going to be wearing any of those things that you've purchased in Europe for the Fit for a Queen show?
I am borrowing the most fabulous jacket from the fabulous Cotton. You know Cotton, Venus, House of
Course.
Venus.
Of course. I love Michael Venus as well.
Michael's the best. He doesn't know I'm borrowing it because it's like at a friend's house and I've like sent him emails saying I'm borrowing this bitch. but he's got a jacket. Get this. It's like a bolero jacket, but he has sewn like 26 long blonde wigs to it. So it looks like a shag coat. Sort of Shaggy Dog DA.
I'm a little bit scared.
It's like a shag coat. It's sort of like the Killers with the shoulders and the all epaulette-y, but it's all like different shades of blonde wigs. You have to come out and see River Rock, May 14th, Fit for a Queen.
I am definitely going to have to check that out. So where they can get it, what's the website again? It was
shootingstarsfoundation.org. Shootingstarsfoundation.org.
And where can they find out more information about Oasis? And do you have a website yourself?
I am working on Connie Smudge Goes Global is going to be my website. But
do you have a Facebook group?
I do have Connie Smudge, fan of Connie Smudge, and it's C-O-N-N-I. There's no E because Connie don't need no E. Smudge. Or else you can do it. Check me out under my boy name, because that's where everything's under. It's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Bolton, and just like the singer, unfortunately, B-O-L-T-O-N.
At least you don't have that hair.
Well, I know I shaved it all off, sister. The wigs stay on better. It's like Velcro now, for God's sakes. It does. It sticks on with that little short buzz cut I've got going on.
So what would you recommend to somebody if they wanted to start doing drag?
Put on a dress, come out to a show with a CD that you don't even have to look that hot, as long as you've done your homework with, like, knowing every single every you have to know every word, and then you can work on the makeup, but as long as the performance there, come to a regular show, bring a CD, say you want to do a free number, see how it goes, and that's how you get started. You just have to do some freebies for a while before you get really recognized and get some paying gigs.
I think that sounds great.
And everyone should be in drag at least once in their life, for God's sakes. And don't let it be Halloween. Just wake up in the morning and put on some 9-inch stilettos.
Unless you're going as a drag king, which I have not done.
You should do that. You'd be very handsome. I'd do you.
Would you?
I'd tap that.
I'd have to cover up and bind all my curves, though, which I don't know. That would be something totally different. That's a little bit too Betty Page.
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm kind of breasted G.
I don't know. I think mine are bigger than yours, at least up top.
I hate it when people say that to me.
I just sit up top.
Oh, I missed the end, but I was so upset with the last sentence. I'm joking. We said we're going to leave on a positive note.
We are going to be leaving on a positive note. And with that note, for all those people out there, a little bit of Rent, which just for all those people that we love and care about. And it kind of ties in, because you're mentioning on the break that for Fit for Queen that you play.
We performed this at the Stanley Theater, yeah, and it went really well. And yeah, sing along with it, folks. It's fabulous. We're going to be singing in the box here.
In the box.
I'm in your box. That should be your new radio show.
We used to do Juicebox Radio, and I miss Julia Saunders very, very, very much. But she's just had a baby. She's my old co-host.
Oh, speaking of boxes, okay, push play.
I will. And up next is Hon Van Klaas, Misery Hour.
Thanks very much. I had a fun time.
Oh, my gosh, my darling. I thank you so much, too.
Thanks, Vancouver.
And we will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Very, very soon.
Moments, so dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? Love.
Christina. Mariah. CITR, where you'll hear none of those divas. CITR 101.9 FM, where the only divas you're likely to hear are Kathleen.
Suck my left one!
Diamanda.